Welcome to the Lancaster Happy Hour, where we connect people with our amazing community over our favorite beverages. Sponsored by the Chuck Hannebach team at Realty One Group Unlimited, we're excited that you're joining us today and can't wait to shake things up.
Hey, everybody. We are back with Lancaster Happy Hour. Myself, Chuck here, and Ryan Bropes. We are with the Chuck Hannebach team at Realty One Group Unlimited. And today we have a special guest, Greg Bardell, who is the owner of Realty One Group Unlimited. So welcome, Greg. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
So we want to dive right in and get to know Greg a little bit. And so you can give us a little bit background on who you are.
Oh, geez. I have been in the real estate industry for 34 years, long time. I started when I was about 23 years old. And over the years, I've worked all over Pennsylvania, Maryland. I had a real estate business in Nebraska for a while. Enjoyed that, actually, Omaha. Works a lot like Lancaster. And about... gosh, let me think now. 15 years ago, I got into the brokerage side of the business. And about nine and a half years ago, I started Realty One Group here in Lancaster.
So, what got you into real estate? Like, you know, because I understand that you had a career before real estate. So if you want to dive into like that, and what brought you into real estate?
So I'm not from Lancaster. I moved here to go to Millersville. I got an undergraduate degree in psychology, and I worked my first 2-3 years out of college in mental health. I worked in a locked mental health unit. And but I had always grown up. My father was in the construction business. He mm-hmm. sold new homes, worked for a builder. And so I remember very early growing up around housing and the sales process. And ultimately, when I was working in mental health, I actually really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But it for those people who work in that field know, it does not pay very well. In my senior year of college, they changed the requirements to become a psychologist. And I didn't feel like spending 7 or 8 more years in college. So I started thinking about what else to do, and housing was always there in the background. And so I got my real estate license in 1990 and been at it ever since.
So I'm going to go back to Millersville.
Yep.
Millersville, you also came through, I know a little bit back history here. You were a star kicker on football teams. Was that part of that?
High school. So yeah, part of it, I when I came to Millersville, I came to play football.
Okay.
I got redshirted my freshman year, which was fine, but my grades were suffering.
So for people who don't understand, what is redshirting?
Redshirting is you don't lose a year of eligibility in college. So okay. In college, typically you have 4 years of eligibility. And I ended up realizing I needed to really focus on grades more than football.
So were you actually a good kicker then? Because your grades suffered. So okay, well, that's good then.
Yeah, I mean, I was. I was a kicker.
Because if you stunk at it, you know, if you're a bad kicker and you had poor grades, it's even worse.
So. No, I was actually good. I was actually a better punter than I was a kicker. But I did both, and. When I was in high school, I went to a lot of kicking camps and things like that. And longest field goal I ever kicked was 50 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, no, a long time ago. That was kind of a big deal. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of got to a point where I was a little disillusioned by it all when I got to college. And, you know, it's a difficult transition. I grew up in north central Pennsylvania. Very country location.
Yep.
So you've been there.
I've been there. Yes.
And, you know, so coming down here was honestly quite an adjustment for me. And I regret it, but I did the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I focused on the grades and getting through college, and the rest is kind of history, I guess.
So you talk about your degree in psychology.
Yep.
One thing that we've kind of taken from you on our team, but you've really kind of focused in on it, really one group, is the DISC profile.
Yeah.
Why is the DISC profile so important to you? Is because of your background? Like, yeah. What kind of?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. You know, look, this business, anytime you're in any kind of sales or consulting business, it's still a relational business. And, you know, I love the question. Actually, I'm thinking about when I worked in mental health, I worked in a locked mental health unit. So I worked with a lot of schizophrenics, bipolar type people, you know, severe mental illness. And so you see people at their worst, and you get a real sense of like how people are, how they deal with things or how they don't deal with things. And so the DISC profile, you know, is a four component test that really kind of gives you insight to different personality types and how people approach problem solving and interaction. I tend to be a high D, so I get right to the point, you know. High I's tend to be very social. I'm married to a high I, and we have some days we have discussions that it's time for the high I to be put away for a little while, you know, which is
and vice versa. Sometimes right. You have to.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a great way. And it also helps with determining, you know, when we use it for employees, right? When we're interviewing and hiring, you know, certain types of job require a certain type of profile. Sure. And so for real estate sales, you like people typically who are high D and high I, right? They're driven, but they're also highly engaging and interactive. For certain types of employees, you want people who are high S and high C, which makes them stable and kind of they like checking the box off. So, mm-hmm. It's really one of the best tools I have found to kind of help, people understand, you know, me knowing you and how do I need to communicate with you? Right. How do I need to interact with you?
Yeah.
So
we've actually adopted it into our team now, based on the Good. Culture of which you've grown. So I want to go back and ask, you know, when you started Realty One Group Unlimited, you know, you must have had some personal goals with that as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what drives you in that aspect?
Interestingly enough, I had owned another brokerage here in Lancaster, and I went through a little period. I debated if I wanted to even stay in the business. Or did I want to go do something else? And what really appealed to me about this was that at the time we bought the 13th franchise for Realty One Group, and the closest Realty One Group was in Houston, Texas. So there was a real appeal for me, the challenge of could I bring this thing to the East Coast, adapt it, and turn it into something.
And in reality, so that, you know, so
in hindsight, it went pretty well.
And it did, you know, because when you said 13, you know, usually most people think that is an unlucky number.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it actually turned out to be a very lucky number for you.
Yep.
Let's talk about your region that you purchased. Yeah. You know, what does that encompass? And then let's talk about some of the growth that has happened in the past year.
Yeah. So when I bought it, the company was founded in Nevada, but it was headquartered in California.
Right.
At the time, they were the number one real estate company in Nevada and in Arizona, and they were like number two in all of California. And so the challenge of bringing this to the East Coast, you know, to be the first one was oddly mm-hmm. appealing to me. And so through that process, there was discussion, and I bought the franchise development rights for Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, and Washington, D.C. And we've been open now for about 9 years, and we've opened 50, I think we're up to 50 offices open. We have another 6 that are getting ready to open. A little over 2 years ago, we bought the franchise development rights for the Caribbean. And so we control the eastern, you know, pretty much mm-hmm. from Puerto Rico, Bahamas, the whole way down to the coast of Venezuela. And we have offices getting ready to open in the Bahamas and Aruba.
Yep.
And so it's very fulfilling, I think is probably the word, to be sitting in Aruba talking to people about this company and what it brings to the table, what we bring to the table, and they're excited about it and they want to be part of it.
So we're now starting to talk international franchising. And so growth doesn't happen without a lot of challenges, a lot of headaches in the process of moving into the international market.
Yeah.
You know, what would you say was your biggest challenge that you had to face doing this? And I'm not saying that there are not going to be other challenges down the road, but what did you find to be the biggest?
Well, one of the most difficult things is you don't really think, you know, from where we sit here, we think of the Caribbean as a string of islands. But what you come to realize is they are each individual countries or territories of another country, be it usually a European country. And so they all have different rules, regulations, processes, policies, and you have to learn every one of them, you know.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. Every island, you have to register trademarks, you know, for trademark protection. And it's very difficult moving money. That's another one of the big challenges that we're facing as these are opening up. So what we did is we formed a company in the British Virgin Islands. We have a company down there that controls the franchise development in the Caribbean. So being a U.S. citizen, owning a company in the British Virgin Islands with a bank in Dominica, it's never a dull moment. So, but again, because it's hard, that's what I love about it. It's not easy. It's not something everybody can do or figure out how to do. So I love the challenge of it.
Well, that's good. And you have a good team behind you that's supporting you.
Awesome team. Yes.
So what would you say are your proudest moments in life?
Oh, in life, my kids, Grace and Emily, you know, I work with them every day. Mm-hmm. They went off to college. I paid for their college. When they came back, I told them it was like the Peace Corps, right? They were going to work for next to nothing for 2 years to pay back dear old dad and mom. And they're great additions to the company. They do, you guys know, you deal with them, you work with them. I couldn't be prouder of them. I think the other thing that I number of years ago, I went to Africa. I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. And in doing so, I raised money to build housing for an orphanage there, which was really kind of cool. I did that at 40 years of age. And I think probably the other big achievement, if you will, outside of what I do in the work front is I went back to college at 41 years of age and I got my master's degree from Lehigh in business administration. I also, beyond that, I got two graduate certificates in corporate entrepreneurship and project management. And, you know, there was a 4 or 5 year window there. It just changed my life. I mean, it just changed everything. I go to Africa, I climb this mountain. I come back, I enroll in college and, you know, it's amazing how different life was before that versus after that. And I would tell you in some degree, I struggled before that, you know, and I just, I think I was just, I knew I had the ability to do really cool things. I just couldn't wrap my head around what and how and when and all of that. So
it's really interesting because I kind of go back to some of the times when you talk to us in the office at trainings, it's like, you have the ability to do it. You just have to do it.
Yes.
And it's kind of that same message that you're talking here.
I was going to say, jump back into real estate for a little bit.
Sure.
Obviously you've been in the business for a long time.
Yep.
In fact, you've been almost as long as I've been alive.
So, thanks, Ryan.
I definitely wanted to throw that in there. But what I want to hear from you is, what has been the biggest change since when you started to current?
In the industry?
In the industry, for the most part, yeah.
Okay, so when I got licensed, there weren't computers. Okay.
That makes you sound very ancient, Greg.
I know. There were computers, but they had not worked their way into the industry at all. And so we would do, there was listing books. Every 2 weeks, a book came out. You went to Elkhart, you picked it up. Lancaster County Association of Realtors, you picked that up. And then that was your guide for the next 2 weeks. So the MLS was not really like you think of it today.
Now, did that mean you had like smaller regions too that you took care of?
Well, the books were primarily Lancaster County.
Because I always think with Google Maps, like I wouldn't be able to be a realtor without Google Maps.
I was thinking the same thing, or GPS in a vehicle.
So you had an ADC map in your car, and you drove with your legs and read your map while you were trying to get around. That's what you did.
So instead of texting while driving, you were reading a map while you're driving.
Yeah.
As your local real estate experts, we are excited to meet with you over our favorite beverages, bringing you the latest and most exciting information in Lancaster County. Our real estate careers have enabled us to know the ins and outs of our community. Our job is to not only assist buyers and sellers with their real estate needs, but to bring the community together in a unique and meaningful way. So grab your drink of choice and settle in as we talk all things Central PA. Follow us on social media or find us at www.chuckhonnebachteam.com.
So technology has really evolved. But again, I go back to, you know, the business in the industry is still very much this is an odd expression, but belly to belly, right? Mm-hmm. It's still about relationships with clients and clients' relationship with their agent. You know, real estate agents are one of the joke I actually made it in a training today, which is we all have a good bit of ADD, but the positive to that is we have to be generalists because we have to be good at so many things. And so that sort of ADD really helps us as an industry do all the things that we have to do. And that has never changed from 1990 to today. It's been the exact same, right? It's about, helping people make a massive decision in their life. Buying and selling a home is a huge, huge decision. It's a huge financial investment. There's emotions that go along with that. There's financial considerations, and real estate agents have to know all of that. They have to be good at all of that. And so it goes back to your earlier question. Why do we focus time in the office on the disc? Well, it's not just a financial transaction. It's not just a sale.
There's a lot of emotion.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into a you figure it's one of the few transactions you start until you finish. Can be months, six mm-hmm. months, could be mm-hmm. a year. And that's a long time. And you have to know how to deal with different personalities. But none of that has changed over the years. Technology has not changed that aspect of it. And I don't think it ever will.
So in talking with real estate, one of the things that's been very exclusive to Realty One Group Unlimited that mm-hmm. other Realty One Group offices do not have is a program called Certain Sale. Mm-hmm. It's something that you developed and own. And let's dive into that a little bit, like how that helps in this real estate market that we're currently sitting in today. And what can you talk about in the current real estate market for people listening in?
So Certain Sale was a program I created in 1994. And there had been other similar type of programs out. What I did that was maybe a little different is I computers had made their way now into the, so basically what I did is I wrote a program for putting certain type of inputs in and helping to calculate what an expected sale price on that property would be. And, you know, 20, gosh, almost 30 years later, I guess it is almost 30 years.
Wow.
That we've been operating the program. We've had somewhere around 1,800 people use it. And basically what it does, it establishes a guarantee amount up front so that people can go forward and buy a house knowing what they're getting, when they're getting it. And the beauty of the program is if we're wrong and it sells for more and it makes more, they get the extra money. If we're wrong and it sells for less or doesn't sell when we think it will, we cover that cost. So it's almost a win-win. It's absolutely, it's like an insurance policy.
And in a day and age where it's very hard to buy a house while selling it at the same time. That's why this program is so beneficial.
Yep. So it's thank you. It's designed really specifically for people who have a home to sell and want to buy. This week, you know, we're sitting in a market where there's no inventory. Houses are selling quickly. We got 3 applications for the program just this week. And the reality of it is they're all in situations where they have to find a home to buy. But if they put their home on the market tomorrow, they're going to be homeless and they don't want to be in that situation. So it works really well in a bad market. It works really well in a good market. And we have partners in terms of lenders and insurance companies that all participate in making the program a reality. It's not as simple as just, hey, your house is going to sell for X and, you know, we have funding that goes with it. We have insurance programs that go with it. And it's actually really beneficial for clients, even in a market like this.
I think that's what I admire about when I joined with Realty One Group Unlimited is the fact that your passion for not only making sure that we're educated in the industry, but making sure that there's a menu of services or offerings for us to be able to offer to our clients that we're working with. In thinking about the market, how do you see the future of our real estate market? You talked about limited inventory. The interest rates have been very volatile. Like what do you see as being in this industry for 30 some years?
Well, here's the thing about cycles, right? Nothing lasts forever.
Right.
And we always go through cycles, right? And cycles over the last 10 to 15 years, cycles tend to last 2 to 3 years at a time. If you had asked me in the fall, matter of fact, people did ask me in the fall, what did I think was going to happen? And I said, well, I think rates are going to be lower. I think we will start to see a little bit of build of inventory, and we may see ourselves moving towards a little bit more of a balanced market. In fact, what has happened is this year is trending very similar to last year. Mm-hmm. If you look at the cycle, right? Yep. Seasonality is a real factor here in Lancaster, well, in Pennsylvania, right? Because of weather. And the thing that I think you can expect is sales will be a little better, but I don't think we're going to see anything dramatic happen over what you saw last year. I can tell you numbers wise, you know, I see a lot of data for all these offices that we have sold and oversee. You know, we're seeing sales up about 10 to 12%. That's actually kind of been what a lot of the national projections have been. So I think that's probably going to hold throughout the year, but I don't think there's nothing at the moment on the horizon that I see that says, oh, there's going to be a dramatic change.
Cool.
I have another question for you.
Yeah.
I asked Chuck this on the first podcast, and he wasn't quite ready to answer it because he didn't have anything on the top of his head. But is there anything, because you've also been the president of LCAR too.
I have.
So you've been very involved in real estate. Is there anything you would love to change about how real estate is run? Like for me, I said to Chuck, I said, I wish inspections were
aliens mandatory. Are real. Side joke. I did. No, it's a great question. It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, it is.
There are things I would like to see. One of the things that has happened in the last really, you know, we've been in this sort of up cycle since 2016, right? Mm-hmm. Up until 2016. We were still sitting on a lot of inventory. The market went to kind of a balanced market for a couple of years. Then COVID hit, and it's been nuts ever since. I think if I were to change something, I'd like to see agents be a little more educated. I mean, this is something we are very passionate about at our company is making sure that real estate agents know what they're doing, how to, you know, not just what to do, but how to do it.
And why they're doing it.
And why they're doing it. And it's very frustrating when you are dealing with somebody on the other side of a transaction who doesn't know. And they're arguing with you a point that it's obvious they have no clue what they're talking about. And the difficulty in that is, I think as agents, we can deal with it. but it's trying to explain it to our client, right? And our client's going, why is this happening? And you know, your answer
it makes us look dumb then too, because we're like, we don't know why.
because here's what the law says, or here's what the code of ethics says. So that's a difficulty in the industry. And we've had a lot of agents, people get licensed that are now agents that don't have a lot of experience or longevity in the business. And so as an industry, I think that is something we need to do a much better job of. One of the things when I was president of Elkhar in 2022, and I felt we needed an education committee. And so we formed an I set up a task force. They studied the issue. And by the end of the year, we had created an education committee. And that's kind of where some of that came from was, you know, we have a lot of agents older retiring. We have a lot of new people coming in, and we need to make sure as an industry, we've got the proper training and education in place for newer people coming in. That's probably one of my biggest things is I kind of wish more agents had more passion to learn.
That's great.
So let's go off of real estate now. Let's go back to a little bit of personal, because there are some things I've got to know you about you.
Aliens are real.
I know you're a huge Star Wars person. I know that you are a Smashburger person.
Yes.
I know Easter is your favorite holiday. What drives you why Star Wars?
Yes.
Why Smashburgers and why Easter?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So Star Wars. I've always been a science fiction fan. So I was, I think, 11 years old when the first Star Wars came out.
Okay.
And it was like a mind-blowing movie. And so I've always thought the storyline was fascinating. I thought it was fascinating. You know, they rolled out. I remember back early in the series when it was, there's actually 9 episodes or there's 9 movies.
Okay.
But they started with the 4th movie. Right.
Okay.
So you spent literally years and decades going, what happened before the first movie? So I don't know. I'm a science fiction fan. I love any kind of science fiction, actually.
Smashburger. Let's get the Smashburgers.
So my daughter turned me on to Smashburgers. And about a year ago, I love cheeseburgers. It's not good, but I do. But my daughter turned me on to Smashburgers. And I bought a griddle grill about a year ago.
Right.
They are just amazing to do on the.
A little something for you, because there's another food that I understand that you absolutely love, and so we have never had this.
So we're going to try this with you.
So
dead dog in the dirt.
Okay.
I knew exactly what it was.
So Josiah is bringing this over to us.
All of the ingredients separately, I love. I'm just not sure.
I want you to explain to us, and we're all going to try this. Can you explain to our listening and followers what is dead dog in the dirt? I'm going to grab this plate so I can grab it over here.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to try to show it a little bit.
There you go.
So it's a hot dog,
okay.
Peanut butter on the bun,
okay.
And ketchup on top of the hot dog.
Okay.
And somebody asked me one time what I called it. At the time I didn't really have a name for it. So I quickly it's a burnt hot dog.
It's pretty burnt.
And it's got, and so the ketchup looks like blood. So dead dog in the dirt.
Okay.
So I am impressed that you're willing to try this. Most people go, ew, until they try.
Literally as a team, we have kind of talked about this. As soon as we had you coming on as a guest, we thought we've got to do this as something fun to do.
This doesn't ruin peanut butter for me, because I do love
it. It will not. You will love it. All right, you ready? Yeah, go ahead.
I actually say I do like it.
I was going to say, this is actually a lot better than I was expecting.
It's really good.
I'm more of a traditional ketchup and mustard. That's it. You know, you don't do anything else to it, but it's actually
they oddly
bad.
Blend well together.
Mm-hmm. So wait, you came up with this?
Yes. Yes.
Is it while you were playing Fortnite? Because that is something that I've always found interesting about you, is because now your job involves you talking to a ton of people.
Yes.
So you're also a huge YouTube fan. Is that like just like I'm shutting down?
Yes.
I'm playing Fortnite and YouTube. You know, everything else goes away.
Yeah. I mean, you get to, where else do you get to go online and kill people? I mean, it's because it's live, right? You play live. And I get to play. So there's a couple of us that play, and we play as a quad and a team. And one
I've
of us.
I've never played it. So that's why I'm like,
really?
Okay. I've never played it, yeah.
So it's free, but you drop into this land. There's 100 of you, and the objective is to be the last one standing. It's kind of like Squid Game or something like that. Or what's the one they drop the kids in?
I don't know because I'm not a video junkie person. I wish I was.
So I love playing it. And matter of fact, I'll probably be playing it later tonight.
There you go.
My handle is thank you. My handle is Thor is killing you. And it's so much fun to play.
If you ever get people that are joining you, you'll have your headphones, you'll be talking to them.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be smack talk the whole time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
See the different side of Greg.
Yes, yes. Yes, and I'm better when I play solo. I'm like the joke is when I get on and we play quads, that I'm like the runt kid in the neighborhood that nobody really wants to play with. So because they're all really good, but it's a lot of fun. And so there's a couple of us that play, and sometimes it's just two of us, sometimes it's four of us, but.
It's your mental escape.
That's my mental escape. Yeah. And, so I tell Tina that I'm going upstairs to kill people, and she knows exactly what that means. And so I go upstairs, and I have in my office, I have a TV and I have a recliner and Xbox set up. And
so that probably goes to our reason why you're more of a night owl, because you're playing late with the young kids versus being an early morning person.
I only play so late. usually 10:30, 11. I was like, okay. We're all usually done.
But, okay.
Yeah. But, excuse me. A lot of fun.
That peanut butter is good to you.
Yeah.
So you see, you come to a podcast, your wife goes out to dinner, and we're feeding you. Now you don't have to worry. She doesn't have to worry about making dinner tonight.
Dog in the dirt. So you're still eating yours over there. I see you. All right.
We have one final question that we ask everybody that comes on. What is your favorite pizza place in Lancaster County? What's your go-to?
I'm actually not that big of a pizza fan anymore.
Interesting.
I don't eat a lot of pizza, but I do like subs. And so, gosh,
so you don't eat pizza at all anymore?
Rarely. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I have esophagus issues, so I got to be a little careful with it. But. Gosh, probably Ruffino's or Randazzo's on Centerville or State Street in East Hempfield.
So if you had to pick between the two, narrow it down. Yeah. We want one.
See, Chuck's saying that, but he picked two the first time.
I know.
And then him giving you a hard time is hilarious.
Well, no, because Randazzo's is one for me. Yeah.
Okay. So Ruffino's, I have been going, I worked on Centerville Road in the 90s, early 90s, that I would go there. And I have ordered the exact same thing for 30 years.
Wow.
And when I go in, I don't even have to order. I just sit down and they know, and it's Greg and he's
there. You go.
And so I usually get they have like a really good tuna. They have the best tuna subs in there anywhere.
Wow.
So I go in there and I once or twice, awesome. Once every maybe 2 weeks or so, I'll stop in there and eat. So
Superfinos is on the board.
Yes. There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. It was great to learn a little bit more that I didn't even know about you. And thank you for joining in, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and listen in on our podcast. Thank you, everybody.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Lancaster Happy Hour. Subscribe to our podcast and stay up to date with all things Lancaster, and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, or online at www.chuckhonnebachteam.com. If you have questions about a certain topic or a request for a feature, please submit all inquiries to chuck@honnebachteam.com. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, cheers.